I want you to think of the person in your life who is least likely to become a Christian, from what you can see. The person you think would never consider Jesus. Sorry, it's a big trip to get here. Maybe they're a mocker. Someone at your work, at your school, who just loves to ridicule Christians. Or maybe the person you're thinking, maybe she's a snob. Maybe, you know, she thinks she's so good that nobody else could ever be good enough for her. Or maybe you're thinking of, and he's a bully. He loves to hurt people as much as he can when he knows he can get away with it. So have you got somebody? Have you thought of somebody? Maybe they make life difficult for Christians. Well, now take that person and double it. Double the barbs. Double the snide remarks. Double the attacks. Double everything. Until you get the worst possible scenario. And that was me. My name is Saul. Saul of Tarsus. I was worse than the person you can imagine could never, ever become a Christian. When I became a Christian, do you know how many people believed it? Nobody. Because they thought, me, I would never, ever turn to Christ. I don't know if you think you know someone who hates Christians. Well, I hated them more. I didn't just sneer at Christians. I attacked everything they said. And I know my scriptures as well as anybody in Jerusalem. So I could make life hard for them, and I'd go at them like nothing else. And I didn't just argue. I'd mock, I'd sneer, I'd threaten as well. And if I told you that I wanted to see you killed, or that you would be arrested, I wasn't just saying it. I saw it happen. So when Stephen was arrested and put on trial, I was one of the main leaders because I couldn't stand what he was saying about Jesus. Couldn't stand it. And when he was stoned to death, I wasn't just there cheering them on. I was taking their coats so they could get a decent throw to kill him faster. I wanted Christians dead, and I wasn't just satisfied with Stephen. Then I continued persecuting, doing everything I could against the Christians in Jerusalem. And then I heard news which really upset me. This Christianity, this following Jesus, it was spreading. And it had spread into Syria, even into the city of Damascus. I thought, someone's got to do something about it. These people need to be stopped. This Jesus thing needs to be brought to an end. And I thought, well, I'm going to do something about it myself. I went to the high priest and I got letters off him so that I could go to Damascus and I could arrest, put in chains, anybody following Jesus there and drag them off back to Jerusalem as my prisoners. See, you might think you've rejected God pretty dramatically, or you might think you've done something wicked or planned something horrible. Well, you might be ashamed of what you've done and think you don't deserve God's love. I tell you, whatever you've done, I was worse. Much worse. So there I was, leading my lynch mob to Damascus. And suddenly, there was this bright light just blinding me, and I fell to the ground. And I heard this voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it was just mind-blowing. This was like coming from God, the Creator himself, but saying I was persecuting him. I was just persecuting followers of this Jesus. And so I cried out, Lord, who are you? And what I heard next crushed my world and changed my life. He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It was like my world collapsed in on itself. This was God speaking, saying, this is Jesus. So that means that Jesus, who I've been mocking and ridiculing, has the full power of God himself. It means that this one who I thought was dead in the grave, he has risen. And more than that, for me, he is saying that when I persecuted his followers, when I attacked them, I was attacking him. Attacking the one with the full power of God. I was in trouble. I knew I deserved death 1,000 times over. And yet, Jesus spoke to me. He said, get up and go into Damascus and I will show you what you must do. So I got up and I couldn't see a thing. And so the guys with me, that they led me by the hand into the city. And they took me along a long straight street to Judas's house. And I sat there in Judas's house for days. I was broken, stunned. I didn't eat, I didn't drink. Just Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. This changes everything. And then finally, after 3 days, God sent Ananias to see me. See, I'd heard of Ananias. He was one of the Christians I was coming to meet. I was coming to arrest. I see, he knew this too. So Ananias had heard of me. And so when God spoke to him and told him to come to see me, he was scared. He knew all the things I'd done to the Christians in Jerusalem. He knew I'd come to drag him away in chains. So for Ananias, believing that God is powerful enough to restore my sight, that was easy. He knew that God had raised the dead. But believing that God could save a scum like me, he struggled to accept that. But in the end, Ananias obeyed God and came and prayed for me. And that moment when the scales fell from my eyes and I could see and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing. But for Ananias, it was a big turnaround for him as well. And he wasn't the last one to have to go through that. He wasn't the last one to think that I was too bad to ever be forgiven by Jesus. Because nobody else in Damascus could believe it either. I went out preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. But everyone was stunned and said, hey, isn't this the guy who caused complete havoc in Jerusalem? Hasn't he come here to drag us away in chains? And then, it wasn't just in Damascus, then when I went to Jerusalem. Nobody there would believe that I was following Jesus, that I was a disciple. And then, I had to flee Jerusalem. After Jerusalem, when I went to Tarsus, when I went to Antioch, and again throughout, the people struggled to accept who I was, that I could have done a U-turn like that, that I could have gone from being a killer of Christians to being willing to be killed for Christ. It was like people thought that changing me, seeing me transformed, was too much even for God. So I thank heavens that God used men like Barnabas, the great encourager, to help people to accept that the miracle had happened. The risen Jesus had transformed my life. Has Jesus transformed your life? You may think you could never be good enough for Jesus. You know all the filth in your past. You know the sins you're still struggling with. You think maybe that's too much. Well, with due respect to your sinfulness and what you've done wrong, I think I was worse. I'm a murderer, deliberately going out to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. If God's going to be angry at anything, he's going to be angry at me attacking his own body. His family. But Jesus offers forgiveness, even to me. Which means he offers forgiveness and acceptance to you. He offers forgiveness even to that person you think could never become a follower of Jesus. He offers forgiveness to the people around the world who are killing Christians today. Jesus' death has paid the price for everyone, anyone who will come to him. And this is huge news. Everyone needs to hear about Jesus' forgiveness. Everyone needs to hear about his forgiveness and also about what I glimpsed there on the road. His power, his authority, even just that glimpse blinded me. But one day, everyone and everything will see the full glory, the full power of Jesus Christ when he returns to judge all of creation. And I tell you, on that day, you don't want to be opposing him. You don't want to be ignoring him, saying you don't need him. Then it will be too late. But until that day, Jesus is at work by his Spirit. He is at work by his word, by his people, bringing people like you from all around the world to him, to God's family. People from Jerusalem, from Damascus, from Indonesia, from Bulgaria, even from Margaret River. This is huge. People are moving from death to life, like I was, moving from darkness into light, moving from being God's enemies to being in God's family. That is what the mighty risen Jesus is doing. It's the biggest, it's the most exciting thing happening in the world today. It's bigger than anything else in your careers, in your family, in your life. And Jesus invites you to be part of this great work he is doing. To be part of his, join him in his saving work. Maybe as you look at Jesus reaching people, you think, well, no, that's good. Jesus could do that. Good, special people could do that. But maybe you feel inadequate, that God could not use you, work through you. Maybe you feel damaged, almost beyond repair from things in your past. Maybe you've known great failure at work, in your personal life, in relationships. So, you know, it's a big miracle that Jesus would forgive you, but you think it's too much for him to work through someone like you. You think, surely Jesus couldn't reach people through me. Do you really believe, though, that your sin is greater than Jesus' power? I was the worst of sinners, a murderer, directly opposing Christ himself, yet God has worked through me. Even in Damascus, where I went there to arrest people for talking about Jesus, I then went and stood publicly in the town telling everyone who would listen, Jesus is the Son of God. In Jerusalem, I told everyone about Jesus. In Tarsus, in Antioch, around the world, I used to go and arrest and kill people for telling others about Jesus, just for trusting in Jesus. And now, I live for him myself, and do you know what other people are doing? They're trying to arrest and kill me for talking about Jesus. And so, in Damascus, instead of leaving in triumph at the head of a procession of prisoners, the mighty powerful one, I had to sneak out in a basket in the middle of the night. It's not very tough and manly, is it? And then, in Jerusalem, I had to flee from there. Again and again, I've had to run away. I go to city after city, and I'm chased out for Jesus, as the plots mount up against my life. But would I change it? Not at all. Do I wish I could have a quieter life? No way. I have everything in Christ. I have peace now. I have eternity with him. And what a privilege to go around the world telling people about the greatest message they ever can hear, they ever will hear. That Jesus Christ, God's Son, has died for them. That he has risen and that he now offers them new life with him forever. That's huge. See, I don't deserve to be involved in that. I am nobody. I'm the worst of sinners. I deserve death and judgment. But God has invited me to share this great message that Jesus is Lord, that he brings forgiveness, to share this with the whole world. Now God may or may not be sending you out to go out into the furthest parts of the world like he sent me. With quite a few of you here, it's quite likely that he may be. I don't know that. But what I do know, for all of you, for all of us, is that God has given us the greatest message ever. The message of life, and we have the privilege of sharing it. So, you know that person who you think can never become a Christian? Well, keep praying for them. That was me. Keep seeking ways to share Christ. Share Jesus every chance you get. See, if Jesus could save a murderous church smasher like me, he can also save people like you. Like your friends. Like your enemies. And not only that, but Jesus can also work through you to declare his message and to save people. I know this because Jesus works through me, the very worst of sinners.